today we're starting a new sermon series called Everyday Saints. And each week this summer we're going to be looking at different Old Testament characters and their lives and seeing what we can learn about faith and about everyday living through them. And today we look at the life of Hannah, a woman in distress, a woman who turns to God in her moment of need. And I invite you to hear how God speaks to you through her life and where you see yourself in her life. We find her and her husband and her husband's second wife going to the temple to offer sacrifices as our scripture begins in 1 Samuel 1. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give a portion of his meat to his wife Peninnah and to all of her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Salon, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. She made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you would only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." She kept on praying to the Lord, and Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the Lord of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in his eyes." And then she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning we stumble across a woman with an everyday sort of problem, something you or I could be facing. Maybe not the polygamy part, but the unsettling ache that lingers no matter what one does, the heartbreak, the physical pain, the desire and longing that goes with needing something deep down at the core of your being. Hannah wanted a child, not just a little one to play with and to care for, though I'm sure that was part of it, but she wanted a child to ensure her very survival. In Hannah's day, women had no legal standing. They didn't own land. They couldn't have property. They had no value of their own. They were completely dependent on the men in their lives. And since Hannah didn't have an heir, her husband was free to divorce her. It was unlikely that he would, since we're told that he loved her greatly and gave her a double portion. But he was legally allowed to leave her because she hadn't given him a son. It's probably why he chose to take a second wife, because he too wanted heirs. But Hannah was left vulnerable, because if her husband died, she would have nothing. She would be out on the street at the mercy of this woman and her children that didn't like her and didn't care for her. She had no son of her own to care for her in her old age. Infertility, you see, was always blamed on the woman back in those days, and it was a source of disgrace and humiliation. Many thought it was a curse from God, that she had done something wrong and that she deserved punishment. So Hannah not only Being insecure in her future also would have been an outcast in society, living under a cloud of shame wherever she went. Her co-wife, Panaya, rubbed it in every chance that she got. I can only imagine Panaya's hurt and bitterness being the second wife, the one who was not loved, the one who was not chosen, always second to Hannah. So she rubbed salt in the wound. I could imagine how their conversations would have gone. Panaya saying something like, "Well, I gotta go. Little Jimmy wants to go to the park. You know how it is." "Oh, wait. No, you don't." Or, "Hey, Hannah, help me do the laundry. I have so many kids. It takes me so long. And since you don't have any kids, why don't you earn your keep and give me a hand?" Think of how soul-crushing this would have been for Hannah to day after day, year after year, be tormented by somebody and reminded of her deepest loss. It was so unbearable that Hannah got to the point where she couldn't eat and she was overcome by anger and depression. I always know something's really wrong when I stop eating. To make it worse, her husband didn't understand her. "Why are you so sad?" he says. "Aren't I enough for you? Can't you just get over it?" Here was Hannah, alone, misunderstood, ashamed. So she went to the house of the Lord, and she poured her heart out to God, and she wept bitterly before God. And she made a vow that if only God would give her a son, just one son, that she would give this son back to the Lord in service. And she begged and pleaded with God. Have you ever been so desperate that you begged God, bargained with him? "If only you would give me a sign, or saved my loved one, or show me what you want for my future, then God, I'll do whatever you want me to do." It was one last-ditch effort to satisfy the deepest longings of her heart, one last try to get God's attention. To add insult to injury, Hannah was so distressed that the priests at the temple thought that Hannah must be drunk. Misunderstood once again, she explains herself to Eli, and Eli sees her sincerity and takes pity on her and offers her a blessing. "Go in peace," he says, "and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." In that moment, Hannah is transformed. She went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast, and her heart was no longer overcome with sorrow. In that moment, though everything in her life remained the same, Hannah found peace with God and emerges from God's presence with hope and confidence. Because of this simple blessing, Hannah is a changed woman, and she's finally able to live with that ache and desire that she has carried for so long. Of course, the story goes on and tells us that after Elkanah and Hannah went home from the temple, they made love, and in the course of time that she became pregnant and bore a son, she names this son Samuel and does indeed dedicate him to the Lord, giving him to the priest Eli to raise and to shape. I can relate to Hannah's story here. I think all of us can, at least to the agony part of the story. There have been so many hurts represented in our church family over the last couple of years. Loved ones who have fallen ill, jobs in turmoil, unbearable loss. And those are the only things that we have been willing to speak out loud. What about the struggles of addiction or marital trouble, depression, the loss of faith that I am sure has been present in this place, pains too great to admit to one another? I can relate to this kind of agony, especially in terms of physical health. As many of you might know, Aaron and I had a particularly difficult year last year. I had surgery and I was hurting in a way that I hadn't hurt physically before. Aaron was in and out of the hospital, and my heart was in agony, not knowing what to do, not knowing how to help, desperately wanting God to come and intervene and make all things better. And I felt this all-consuming desire for healing and wholeness, something that only God can provide. I know the helplessness Hannah must have felt and the pain of carrying such a heavy burden for so long. I know what it's like to beg for God's mercy and to travel through such difficult chapters of life. I would imagine that you have felt this way as well, that there have been times where you've cried out to God, where you've suffered unbearable loss, when you've been unsure of what the future holds for you. And you too know the pain Hannah felt. Author Tony Evans describes this pain well. He says the worst turmoil of all often takes place in one's soul. This happens when you can't seem to live with yourself, when your own pain, anxiety, depression, and regret eat you up and leave you with an unsettled ache. You are at war within. This kind of pain can consume us, and it's something that only God can satisfy. This morning's scripture is a beautiful reminder that God is with us, even in these difficult times, and that he remains true to us when we need him the most, that he hears our cries and meets the deepest longings of our heart. But I must say, reading this story, it feels a little too happily ever after for me. In the course of just a couple of verses, Hannah goes from being heartbroken to receiving the greatest gift that she had ever hoped for. And in my experience, faith isn't always that cut and dry. Things don't always work out that neatly or that easily. I find that much more begging and pleading goes into my story, more sleepless nights and worry and frustration than the Bible took the time to record for us today. That makes me wonder how much time passed between Hannah being blessed by Eli and holding her son in her arms. Was Hannah able to keep that peaceful feeling all that time as she hoped and waited for God to fulfill his promises to her? Or did she slip in and out of despair? How many times did she go before Eli, or go before God in prayer, begging and pleading, before he finally responded? The Bible gives us a shortened version of this story. It tells us the beginning and it tells us the end. We're left to fill in the pieces in between. Hannah was without a child for years, and it would have been months and months for her to wait and find out if she was pregnant, even if God fulfilled that promise immediately. It was a long and painful journey, one with many ups and downs. And reading her story, we can be encouraged that God does come through in the end, even if, when we're in the midst of crisis, it might not feel like God is with us. It's easy for us to forget when we're in the midst of crisis that our story isn't over yet, that God is still at work and there is still more to be done, that we too will have that moment when God's peace rests upon us and where we start to see the pieces of our life coming back together. I know it was true for me, having no idea what God was doing, having no idea what was going on with my own body, waiting and wondering and praying and begging. But to be able to look back a year later and to see how good and faithful God has been, that my aches and pains are not gone, but better than they've been in a long time, that I have a happy and healthy husband that God has provided and blessed, that I, too, get a happily ever after, even if it didn't feel like that day would ever come when I was in the midst of that suffering. Reading Hannah's story Looking back over my own life, remembering the times where God has been so good to me, it helps me to remember that God works all things for good in His time. That in God's time, He will meet those longings in our heart. He will provide for us the things that we need more than anything else. And that in His time, we too can have a happily ever after. That even in the midst of our deepest pain and agony, God is still good. And I'm reminded by Hannah's story that we too can always turn to God, that He hears our cry and cares about what matters most to us, even if it doesn't seem like He is listening, that we are invited to tell Him our hurts and our pains and to ask Him for the things that weigh heavy on our hearts. And we can trust that God has not abandoned us. We have the opportunity to do that today, to come before the Lord's table and to pour out our hearts to Him, to share our joys and our sorrows, our pains and our fears, to let Him know our deepest needs and desires. And this morning, as we come before God, know that He does hear you and that He responds with great compassion. Remember the great lengths that God has gone through in order to know us personally, that Christ has lived and died and rose again so that each one of us could become children of God and know His grace and His mercy deep down in our hearts. Remember as well Jesus' compassion on the least, the last, and the lost, how He comforted the lonely, how He healed the broken, how He forgave the sinner. Know that God treats us that way as well. So no matter where you find yourself in your story, know that God is with you. If you're at the beginning of a new adventure full of hope and joy, God is with you. If you're in the middle of great trial, distressed and alone, God is with you. And if you are at a period of your life where you have received that happy ending and you are singing God's praises, God is with you as well, singing and praising right alongside of you. God hears our cry and invites us to come. Let us pray. God, I thank You that You are so good, that You hear us, that You know us, that You care about us. I thank You that You are with us in the good times and the bad, even when we don't know that You're there. God, I pray especially this day for those who are in the midst of great anguish, whose hearts are broken, whose lives are shooken. God, who are in need of Your grace and mercy, we ask that You would hear their cries this morning. Hear all of our cries, that You would come to our rescue and You would fill us with Your peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We'll be a church ready for you, every heart longing for our King. We sing, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. So we wait for You. God, we wait Your coming soon. So we wait for You. God, we wait Your coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for You, every heart longing for our King. We sing, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Even even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come.
Let us drink of the cup poured out for the salvation of all. Please join me in our unison prayer. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all gathered here, that we might be your light in the world. Transform us with your nourishing grace, even as we eat of this bread and drink of this wine. Transfigure us to be your presence in the world, even as we are redeemed and reclaimed by your great love. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the world. Until Christ comes in final victory, we feast at the heavenly banquet. Through Jesus Christ, all honor and glory is yours. Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen. Let us rise in body or in spirit in our closing song.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. When your love ran red and my sins washed white, sin and shame are powerless. Where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sins washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. I would invite you to join us for coffee fellowship in the back or our ice cream social on Friday. As we go out, hear the blessing of God. As you go from this place, remember that God is always with you, no matter what you face, no matter what trials or hardships come your way. God is right beside you, directing and guiding your path. So do not live in fear, but in joy, celebrating God's presence and singing God's praise in all that we do. Thanks be to God.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her on the light with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the ocean. God bless America, my home.